You're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire presents Hollywood Star Time direct from Hollywood. Radio versions of the finest motion pictures with Hollywood's greatest stars. Today we bring you the radio production of the famous RKO hit, Morning Glory, starring Olivia de Havilland with Reed Hadley. Yes, you're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire, the greatest name in refrigeration, is made only by General Motors. And it is this association of experience with experience, of skill with skill, that makes Frigidaire America's favorite refrigerator today. The 7 million Frigidaires built and sold are the best proof of Frigidaire's outstanding record of dependability, of lasting satisfaction. For back of every great refrigeration principle pioneered by Frigidaire, back of every exciting new Frigidaire feature, back of every exclusive Frigidaire advantage, is one all-important purpose: to keep food good to eat. Remember the record of millions of Frigidaires in millions of American kitchens. And remember, you're twice as sure with two great names. For Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. Now, Morning Glory, starring Olivia de Havilland with Reed Hadley and featuring a colorful musical score conducted by Lionel Newman.
Storm clouds are gathering in the office of Broadway theatrical producer Lewis Easton. Easton, distinguished, bland, successful, listens patiently at his desk. Joseph Sheridan, his favorite playwright, looks bored and harassed. And Rita Vernon, beautiful and somewhat talented actress, has gotten her temperament heated up into a fine state of incandescence.
No, I tell you, I will not leave this office until I get a definite promise of bigger and better things to act in than potboilers like this Sky High.
Now, calm yourself, Rita. Joseph and I have a plan, haven't we, Joseph?
Probably not.
Thank you, genius, for your unflagging cooperation.
I want drama. I want to act. Give me something I can get my teeth into.
Joseph, take Reed out and buy her a thick steak.
It isn't funny, Mr. Lewis Easton.
Now, look, Reed, do Sky High for us, and I promise you we'll give you a play you want after that.
There's a catch in it.
No catch. Joseph's working on something great. Just for you, Reed, but great.
Oh, Lewis, you dear. Joseph, you dear. You whole herd of elves. In that case, I'll act in your shoddy old Sky High. And when the time comes, we'll also discuss a little matter of bigger money.
When the time comes, Rita, dear.
Goodbye, you charming people. See you at rehearsals of Sky High.
Take care of yourself, temperament. Thank heaven we got her.
You shouldn't have promised her my new play. It's not written yet, and she's wrong for it. But Twilight Shore is a dramatic allegory. It's symbolic. The only symbol Rita understands is the dollar sign.
That's a long way off, so don't upset yourself over it, Joseph. Now, suppose you toss me my $15 hat and we'll call it a day, huh?
Oh, come on.
What do you think of getting Robert Hedges to play the doctor in Sky High, Joseph?
Excellent, perfect. He's a nice old gent, too.
Hello.
Would you take that line over again, give it a little more up, you know?
Hello.
Say, who are you anyway?
I'm an actress.
I suppose Helen Hayes better watch out now, huh?
Oh, no, she's very good, too. I mean, she's much better than I am right now.
Oh, Lordy, give me strength.
I mean, really, I'm not a very good actress at all.
Say, you mean that, too, don't you?
I'm sure she does. What's your name?
Eva Lovelace.
Well, I'm Joseph Sheridan. This is Mr. Lewis Easton.
Joe Sheridan, the playwright. And Lewis Easton, the great producer.
Cut.
Oh, but if there's one person in the whole world I pray particularly to meet, it's you, Mr. Easton.
You mean that, don't you?
Oh, yes.
What have you done on the stage?
Oh, just little theater things in Bedford, Vermont. Things like Hedda and Hedda Gabler and The Old Woman in Riders to the Sea and The Queen and the Queen's Enemies and Kitty in Shaw's You Never Can Tell. Don't you think Shaw is the greatest living dramatist, with all respect to you, Mr. Sherman?
Sheridan.
Another Yankee general.
Oh, pardon me, I'm sorry. But don't you...
On the contrary, Miss Lovelace, do pardon us. But believe me, this little encounter has been most refreshing.
It has? Why?
Oh, I guess because I love New England and New England people. And looking at you, I can see right through your occasional absurd affectations, and I see charm and truth and courage. Well, good luck to you, and goodbye.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Seaton.
Easton. Coming, Joseph?
I'll meet you in front of the building.
Well, trip the latch on the door when you go out, then.
Okay.
Oh, he's wonderful. So charming and gracious and considerate.
He's one of the best. But he has his peculiarities. He's a weird man when he's been drinking champagne, for instance.
He's so distinguished looking. I'd love to work with him.
Perhaps you could work with both of us.
You mean a part in Sky High?
There's a very small part in the third act, but it's not easy. It has to be acted, Miss Lovelace.
Oh, just watch me. Why, back in Bedford...
However, I'll have to sell Mr. Easton on the idea. I wrote the miserable play, and I think you can do the part.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Shepherd.
It's quite all right. We're always looking for new talent, Miss Locksmith.
Last night, just to be sure, this critic took another look at Sky High, currently playing to packed houses at the Easton Theater. And after lo these many months, I still say Sky High is a deplorable play. However, it picks up materially in the third act ever since Miss Eva Lovelace, the Bedford, Vermont newcomer, left the cast. It is to be presumed that Miss Lovelace decided that she should have stood in Bedford.
Waiter, may I have another cup of coffee, please?
Cost you not a nickel, lady.
But it says on the menu that the second cup of coffee is free.
Not when all you had for dinner was the first cup of coffee.
Oh. Well, all right, I'll pay for the second cup.
Mind if I wait in here, Mac? I'm expecting a taxi.
Do it yourself, Mac. For the taxi, you'll have to sit at the counter like anybody else.
I think a cup of hot coffee would do me... Eva! Miss Lovelace!
Mr. Sheridan! Hello.
Well, where have you been keeping yourself all these months?
Oh, it has been a long time, hasn't it?
Uh-huh.
But I've been so frightfully busy, you know how it is. But I've hardly seen any of my old friends.
Well, you've been a lucky little lady to be so busy. It was an extremely hard winter on Broadway. Oh, I did see a small item about you in one of the trade papers. Was it?
Well, I was rehearsing for the Frolics. Of course, I just took that chorus work for the experience. One needs all sorts of experience. And besides, there happened to be a lull in the drama.
Working now?
Not at the moment, but I've been promised an engagement in some Shakespearean repertory on the road, if nothing else turns up. Won't you join me for some coffee?
Well, I was going to, but I'm due at a party. However, I thought I might give you a lift, drop you off wherever you like.
Well, I live so far uptown.
Well, I'm going uptown.
Here's your coffee, miss. Comes to 10 cents.
10 cents?
That's for two cups, please bear in mind.
Eva, is that your dinner?
Is that my dinner? How perfectly silly, Joseph.
Answer the question.
Well, it's very rich coffee with lots of sugar.
On customers like her, I'll get wealthy.
Eva, you're coming with me.
Where?
Louis Easton is throwing a party tonight. Buffet supper.
Louis Easton.
Remember?
Oh, of course I do. Is he still so nice?
Nicer if you don't take him too seriously. Oh, there's my taxi. Here you are, Mac. Come on, Eva, we eat. To the party.
And you know what I am, Mr. Easton? Either I'm a rotten actress or I'm a great actress. I'm not just a pretty good actress. Tonight I feel wonderful. Tonight, I think I'm the greatest actress in the world. I mean, I'm the greatest young actress in the world. Or anyhow, the United States and its territory.
Oh, come, Eva, behave yourself.
No, no, she's delightful, Joseph, and all on one glass of champagne.
Well, will you take Eva home? You see,
You're not going, Joseph.
Well, I've set myself 5 pages a day on my new play.
Wilt thou be gone, O Romeo? It is not yet near day. It was the nightingale and not the lark that pierced the fearful hollow of thine ear. Nightly she sings on yon pomegranate tree. Believe me, my love, it was the nightingale.
It was the lark, the herald of the morn, no nightingale. Look, love, what envious streaks do lace the severing clouds in yonder east. Night's candles are burnt out, and jocund day stands tiptoe on the misty mountaintops.
Yon light is not daylight, I know it. Aye, it is some meteor that the sun exhales to be to thee this night a torchbearer and light thee on thy way to Mantua. Therefore, stay yet. Thou needst not to be gone. Give me 2 cigarettes, somebody. Good night, Joseph.
Good night. Take good care of Eva, Lewis.
I shall guard her with what remains of my misspent life.
So long, everybody. So long.
Eva, come into the next room with me.
Why, Lewis?
I want to talk to you. In here. Eva, why did you go away when you left my show? I looked all over for you.
Oh, I was dragging the play down, so I gave my notice. I'm sorry I didn't make good. Opinions seem to differ as to whether I'll ever make good.
What do you think?
That I won't make good.
Then mine is one of the differing opinions. You were amazing just now.
It was Joseph. For a writer, he's a fair actor, but a wonderful writer. He told me all about his new play coming up here in the taxi.
And he refuses to tell me anything about it. After all, I'm only going to produce it at a cost of $250,000. Big orchestra and the works.
It's about a woman... No. It's what any thinking woman thinks in a world unsettled by 2 great wars and slipping helplessly toward another great war.
My word.
What?
You have come a long way in a few months, haven't you? Eva, you've grown up.
Have I, Louis?
I'm glad Joseph found you. I'm glad he brought you to my party. I tried to find you. I was afraid you'd been hurt over your failure in that miserable potboiler of mine.
Oh, I didn't mind.
Eva, you are wonderful. I'd like to bind you to a long-term contract.
Oh, me?
It's a very difficult part, and you might not like the leading man.
Oh, no. Who is he?
Me.
Louis.
I want you to marry me.
Marry you? But why?
Because I'm intoxicated. Half champagne, half Lovelace as Julia.
Oh, Louis. Louis, I'd be happy to be your wife. Morning, darling. Did you sleep well?
Who is this?
Eva. You remember Eva, dearest.
Eva, where have you been all these months?
Where have I been, Louis?
Is this Eva Lovelace?
Why, yes. Louis, don't you remember last night?
What about last night?
The party.
Oh, were you there too? Did you have fun?
Oh, Louis, don't you remember what you said to me?
Huh?
Louis.
Look, I'll call you back. I got a fearful headache and I'll...
Never mind, Louis. Anyone who holds his liquor as well as you did last night doesn't have hangovers. Goodbye.
Eva, don't tell me I proposed to you. Let me explain.
Louis.
Joseph, I'm sick. I'm sick, Joseph.
You didn't call me down to your office this early to have me look at your tongue, did you?
Oh, I proposed to a girl again last night.
You will guzzle champagne?
But this is different, Joe.
You don't love this girl?
No, but I'm terribly fond of her.
Does she love you?
I'm afraid so. I suppose that's what made me propose. The champagne and my insufferable vanity.
All right, give me the cash and I'll pay her off. Who is she?
Don't be a callous fool, Joseph. She isn't the kind who'd take money from me. Not Eva Lovelace.
Eva Lovelace?
Yes, she's horribly romantic, you know,
Eva
and...
Eva Lovelace? Eva.
Oh, if I've... Joseph. Are you in love with her?
There's something about that girl, that... foolish, delightful, genuine, decent little girl. Now, I was cold on my allegorical play until she came along. And last night in the taxi to your place, I was inspired. I don't know, there's just something about her. See, Lewis, I'm horribly romantic, too, I guess.
Please, please make a suggestion, Joe. I'm floored. I don't know.
We could offer her the lead in my new play.
Oh, no, Joseph.
Well... what else is there we can do?
She'd wreck a $250,000 property. Besides, I just don't cast my shows that way.
All right. Give me some money.
For her?
I suppose so. I suppose the sooner she begins to look at things sensibly, the better it'll be for her. I only hope I can make her understand, that's all. I've searched and I've searched. I can't find her anywhere, Lewis. She's gone and I don't know where.
Oh.
I hope you'll be happy with Rita Vernon playing the lead in Twilight Shore. I know I won't be happy. I'll never be happy. Unless it's Eva.
In just a few moments, Frigidaire will bring you the second act of Morning Glory, starring Olivia de Havilland with Reed Hadley. Frigidaire, the name that is known best for keeping food good to eat, is also well known for making food good to eat. The Frigidaire refrigerator has a great companion in the Frigidaire electric range. For proof of its greatness, you have only to examine the radiant tube heating unit. Women judge an electric range on its ability to cook economically to give sure results. And that's what makes the radiant tube unit so outstanding. It concentrates heat on the utensil, doesn't waste it in heating the kitchen. And it's fast. You have the choice of a variety of cooking heats that exactly meet your cooking needs, from fast frying to slow simmer. And then to assure you long, carefree service, radiant tube units are built to stand jars and jolts. Even spillovers can't hurt them. When women learned about these advantages, when they learned how easy it was to cook with all the automatic features in the Frigidaire electric range, how accurately it baked and roasted, they knew it was the worthy product of skilled makers of home appliances. Remember this when you choose a new electric range. Remember, the care and skill that is behind a product is as important as what you see. And remember one thing more. You're twice as sure with two great names. For Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. Hollywood Star Time continues now with a radio production of Morning Glory, which stars Olivia de Havilland with Reed Hadley. Mr. Havilland currently may be seen in the Paramount picture To Each His Own. Now, Act Two, Morning Glory.
Months have passed since Eva Lovelace disappeared, deeply hurt by producer Lewis Easton's meaningless and champagne-inspired proposal of marriage. It is an early autumn night, and the marquee of the Eastern Theater carries the brilliant legend, The Twilight Shore, starring Rita Vernon. 15 minutes before curtain time of this ambitious Broadway production, Rita Vernon has called Easton into her dressing room to deliver a stunning ultimatum.
Look, Louis, you remember 4 years ago when I started working in your show?
Well.
I told you I didn't want a contract, that we worked things out as we went along, right?
Right, so what?
You've been paying me $750 a week, for which I've made a lot of your dud plays into successes.
That's right, but is $750 Mickey Mouse money?
It isn't enough for an actress of serious drama.
Well, listen to Catherine Cornell. Now, see here, Rita, fun is fun.
I want $1,500 a week.
$1,500 a week?
Plus a percentage of the profit.
Rita, I can't do that. The show's costing a fortune as it is. We'd close in 2 weeks.
Curtain in 10 minutes, Rita.
Joseph, come in here.
Well, the big night, isn't it?
Joe, we're not ringing up the curtain tonight. Why?
Is Rita sick?
She has brain fever.
At least you acknowledge that I have a brain.
Rita wants $1,500 a week and a share of the profits, and we might as well not open it as to lose money every night.
Oh, is that all that's bothering you?
Is that all?
It's horribly contagious brain fever, isn't it?
I tell you, the show can't go on, and you stand there and say, is that all? It's your play. It's $250,000 investment. With a big cast and 28-piece orchestra and 14 changes of scenery and 8 weeks of rehearsal, and you say, is that all?
I'm smoking the correct cigarette. Joseph has developed iron nerves.
All we need is a leading lady, isn't it?
All Eisenhower needed was an arm.
I'm seriously considering murdering both of you.
After the show.
There isn't going to be a show.
Yes, there is.
And who will play the part of Louise? You?
Eva Lovelace.
Eva Lovelace?
Great casting, but great.
That high school heroine.
Louis, don't be petty. She majored in English and elocution.
I won't have her.
Suppose I tell you she's good.
Suppose you go soak your head.
Now listen.
Why don't you fighting men go to a neutral corner?
Eva Lovelace, huh? Suppose you tell me where you can find her in a hurry.
I've known where she is ever since the day you sent me to patch things up for you.
Well, tell me how she can step into a big role like this on 10 minutes' notice.
I've been coaching her as general understudy. I used the money you gave me to engage a full-time dramatic coach for her besides. And she knows every line of the play. She's watched every rehearsal from the back of the house.
Now she can only act.
She can act.
Get her.
Lewis, are you serious?
Joseph, I said get her. Tell the orchestra to play the overture a few times. Maybe everyone will be mercifully asleep before that Bedford Bernhardt of yours stumbles out of the stage. Now get busy, genius. It's your baby.
Joseph, it's no use. I can't do it. I can't go on.
Of course you can't, but you will.
No, look, I can't talk. I've lost my voice. Look, pharyngitis. See, I can't go on.
You're hamming, you're shamming, and you can't get away with it, see?
I can't.
No.
Oh, that's awful.
Now listen to me and don't forget. In Act One and Act Two, you're a normal, intelligent woman who doesn't want to have a baby in an uncertain world.
I don't even want to have a baby on that little old stage.
Listen to me.
I am listening.
Now, it's in Act Three. The dream sequence where you become not a woman, but the symbol of all womankind.
I've forgotten all my lines.
They'll come back to you when you're out there on the stage.
Write them on the back of something for me. I'll forget. The firing squad.
1 minute, Miss Lovelace.
The condemned woman ate hearty breakfast.
Good luck, Eva. Go on in and win.
Thank you, Joseph.
Hurry,
stop pushing me out there. I can walk. Was it? How did I do? How is it going?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Can you hear me in the balcony?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think I broke a strap. Am I all right? Oh, I'll die.
You were great, Eva. You were great.
I'll die. I can't last another
hour. Now, listen to me.
I'm listening.
Now, Act Three, understand?
I'm listening.
You've been taken to the maternity hospital, but you still don't want your child, see?
Oh, I'll die. I can't make it. I'll die.
Not in this hospital. It's a Lulu, believe me.
Here comes that man again.
2 minutes, Eva. How do you feel?
She feels great, Easton. Never better.
I feel terrible.
That's fine. On stage, everybody. On stage, everybody.
Well, here we go again, Joseph.
It's going to be fine, Eva. I'm not worried.
Well, I'm not worried either. It's just that I can't move my arms or legs. I'll be all right, Joseph.
Of course you will. You've been great up till now. Now, are there any questions before you go out there?
Just one.
Shoot.
Joseph, could I have been in love with the wrong man?
Your instincts are working fine now, Eva. You'll be all right out there. Fine. Good luck, darling. Good luck.
Joseph! Listen to him out there.
She's broken away at last. Here she comes. Eva.
Hello, Louis. Hello, Joseph. Was it all right? What do I do now? Can I go home? What do I do now?
Go on out there again. Now, we'll count the curtain calls. Don't forget.
They're throwing things at me.
Those are flowers, goon girl. Those are flowers.
Go on out there again. They're calling for you.
All right, all right. Here we go. Oh, I think I broke a strap. No. Here we go.
What a performer. What an actress.
What a little girl from Bedford, Vermont she is after all.
Gee, I'm all gone inside. What happened?
You grew up, Eva.
You were magnificent, darling.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Joseph, for everything. Come in.
Stay out.
Who is it first?
The press.
Henry Wilson, the critic. Come in.
The press. The Fourth Estate. I've got to get under the deadline with my review. Hello, Eastern. Fine show. Was splendid, Miss Lovelace. Splendid.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Yes, I phoned the office boy to make a list of all the superlatives in the dictionary, and the charwoman is standing by to write my review. She always does the good ones. A phony, condescending, patronizing laugh, have I ever heard one? But thank you, Easton, thank you. As for you, Miss Lovelace, I want you to know that in the words of Hollywood, you are colossal.
Thank you again, Mr. Wilson.
Got to make a deadline. Good night. Congratulations all around. Oh, and I'm not above accepting gifts for a good review. Good night.
That from the most hard-boiled critic on Broadway.
Eva, from my deepest humility for my poor behavior in the past, may I say something?
Of course, Louis.
You've been wonderful. So many people can be wonderful. Every year, these young, bright-eyed people come to New York with the idea of conquering the world. It's amazing how many of them do, at first, and then they fail. They can be wonderful, but they can't keep their heads. They have their hour of glory, but it's only a morning glory. A flower that's gone before the sun is high. That's all I wanted to say, Eva. You are wonderful. Stay that way. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll see you at the store club.
Joseph.
What's the matter? You look crushed.
Oh, Joseph, don't let me be a morning glory, will you?
You won't be, I promise.
But don't make me be sensible right now. You've got to let me be as foolish as I want to be for a while. I'll have a white ermine coat, and I'll ride horseback in Central Park, and I'll have rooms full of orchids. And I'll write George Bernard Shaw, and he'll either let me do Cleopatra, or he'll write me a nice, impudent letter, which I'll frame. Oh, let me be a morning glory in the morning. I'll change to something else when the sun is high. I'm versatile. Don't you think so, Joseph? Don't you?
Be anything you like, Eva. Do anything you please. But try as you will, you'll never be anything but a little girl from Bedford in Vermont.
It was a real pleasure to have you visit Hollywood Star Time today, Mr. Haviland. Thank you for your delightful performance. Olivia de Havilland will return in just a moment. May we also express our appreciation to the other members of the cast, Reed Hadley, Lorene Tuttle, David Ellis, Jimmy Eagles, and Ben Alexander. Lasky Leroy, RKO, are producers of the current picture Without Reservations, which stars Claudette Colbert. Reed Hadley may be seen in the 20th Century Fox release, Do You Love Me? This radio production of Morning Glory came to you direct from Hollywood and was written by Milton Geiger with music by Lionel Newman. The production was under the direction of Robert L. Redd. Hollywood Star Time is presented each week with the best wishes of your Frigidaire dealer. who invite you to come in and learn about the famous line of Frigidaire home appliances. Electric refrigerators, electric ranges, electric water heaters, home freezers, and a wide variety of refrigerating and air conditioning equipment for homes, farms, stores, offices, and factories. And here again is Olivia de Havilland. Olivia, it was nice having you here to grace our stage tonight.
Thank you, Wendell. I love doing radio. And let me assure you, I most certainly plan to tune in Hollywood Star Time next Saturday to hear Alan Ladd in Double Indemnity. So until then, goodbye.
Thanks, Olivia. This is Wendell Niles speaking for Frigidaire, made only by General Motors. The Columbia Broadcasting System.